You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday morning to you. Halfway through July. Excuse me. Welcome to All Marine Radio. Alex Holling is going to join us today. That's always interesting. You know, you watch the news, then you think about it and try to understand it. I had a lot of time to think about the news over the weekend. I did a bunch of yard work, and then yesterday, quite unexpectedly, I had to, first time in my life ever, I was kind of proud of myself too, I had to develop expertise in the area of like operating a snake. Right, that goes into your main drain that runs between your home and your drainage pipe out of your house meets the city sewer line. So, I had a lot of time to think about the news, and I thought this last week, although I didn't mention it, the headline this morning, last week, the president was tweeting out about, you know, ICE raids that are going to happen, right? And so I thought about that, and then I thought about it over the weekend. So what we're all going to watch, and this. And our indignant population is going to be people that have come to the United States. They've claimed asylum. In our suck-ass system that doesn't work, their asylum claim has been researched and examined, and their asylum claim has been denied. They're in the country. The group that is going to be taken into custody has run afoul of the law. They will now be deported per order from, right, those immigration judges. Okay, now what what part of that? So, but when you hear the term raid, right? When you hear the term raid, what's the connotation of that? Right? And so, which to me is a bit of a media win, when you can get those things defined as raids, then I think you've done a fair amount towards influencing the debate. But anyway, it's like, so we're supposedly a nation of laws, I think, except when it comes to immigration. And you watch it, and right, how can you help but scratch your head as you look at it and think, like, what goes on in this country when even the crappy system that we have, we don't even enforce the findings of judges in the crappy system that we have? And so I, you know, again, I know the truth doesn't matter. I know that this is all charades for political gain and all that, but it is somewhat astounding when you sit down and you watch it, and I think you kind of blow the smoke out of the room and you think, okay, so let me just, so I understand this, so I can have an informed opinion. So these are people that came to the country, claimed asylum, their case has been adjudicated, they found no intellectual basis, for the asylum. They've been issued a deportation order, and these people are at the top of the list because my understanding is they've run afoul of the law in some other way. So we can't deport them? That's a crime against humanity? So, I don't know. You look at it and you're just like, wow. Now, the next question is, why would the President of the United States, seeking to understand things, right? So I'm in the course of doing my yard work on Saturday, it's like bushes grow in front of your house, right? Well, I have these, and they're pepper trees, but they're like bushes. And they get tall and unruly, they obscure part of the house, and they have a little bit of undergrowth, and so I went in there to root all that out. Plus, I'm not really great at trimming rose bushes. I don't really do that. And I had to do that too. So I did all that. In the course of that, I noticed that the cap, I don't know what you call that cap. I would call it the blow cap, was ajar from my sewer line in the garden. And there was toilet paper at the top of it. So I looked, and I went, So I put the cap back on. I thought, well, I'm not sure. There must have been some kind of temporary cloggage. So anyway, not that there was a whole lot I could do about it. So anyhow, I did all that on Saturday. Sunday, I get up, I take a shower. Colleen had a friend spend the night, and all of a sudden, I can't remember what I was doing. I was in the kitchen or something. Colleen says, "Dad, the bathroom's full of water." So I go into Colleen's bathroom, and the toilet's hasn't been flushed, but it's overflowing. So water from the shower filled up my shower, filled up the sewer line, and was flowing back into the shower, into her bathtub and toilet, and then onto the floor. Yeah. Yeah. So, now, it's like, okay, first of all, it's Sunday. Do you know what it's going to cost to get a plumber? Do you know what it's going to cost to get a plumber to come out on a Sunday? Yeah, it's not going to be cheap. It is not going to be cheap. So, anyway, so now I'm assessing the problem. I had tightened that cap down, too. And in my head, thinking about Saturday, I thought, something's in there blocking it. I tightened up the relief, and now it's coming back in the house. So I go outside, I loosen it, I pull that cap off. All the water comes out. I'm like, oh my God. How am I gonna do this? So, and I know the blockage, you know, given how the water's backing up into both showers, both, you know, toilets and all of that. I know that the blockage has to be between the streets because it's blocking the whole house. So it's gotta be somewhere between the house and the street. So I decide, I nix the idea of, like, how much to get a plumber to come out and do that on Sunday. Yeah, exactly. I thought, you know what? Let me go see what I can do. My first thought was that there would be a liquid solution. Okay? So that's what I actually went down to do, is to look for some kind of liquid solution that would eat through whatever. I mean, the only thing that's in there is toilet paper. And we had a little bit of discussion. Colleen and I had a little bit of discussion about feminine hygiene. And she assured me, no, Dad, I don't do that. I said, okay. She said, Mom yelled, told me from the start, do not do that. I said, okay. All right, I got it. Right? You don't want to, as a guy, you don't want to go too far down that road, right? Anyhow, but we had to have that conversation. So now, that's ruled out as a cause. Okay, so it's just normal toilet paper down there. Okay, so there's got to be a chemical that, you know, Drano industrial strength, whatever. So I go to Home Depot looking for that. What I ultimately settle on, however, is buying a 25-foot small snake. Yeah, and so I know that the distance between my house and the sidewalk can't be more than 30 or 40 feet. So I think, I mean, the odds are pretty good that whatever it is, right, and, you know, you crank this thing down, and then you can hook your drill to it, right, it might be a quarter inch. So it's not the diameter is not very big, so that means the coil is not very powerful. So, I mean, you can snakes, you know, small blockages and things like that. So I thought, well, maybe that's what it is. So I spent $24.95, get my 10% discount at Home Depot. So I take that thing home, I'm pretty fired up. I run it down the sewer line, and I hit nothing. The whole thing. The sewer line eats this thing. I'm like, shit! Now what? So I'm thinking, like, okay, what are my options? And I go and I talk to my next door neighbor, Rick. Rick, the crazy Vietnam pilot. Okay? So I ask him, I said, hey man, do you have any experience doing this? He goes, no man, I call a guy. I'm like, what a loser. And he said, so we have an argument about him, not an argument, we have a discussion about him being a loser. And how he shouldn't, he's retired now, he should save his money and he should get involved in that. So he says no. So, alright, so now it occurs to me that Home Depot rents tools. So I call Home Depot and I talk to a guy named Martino. I said, hey Martino, do you guys, I went online, looked at what they rent. I said, I need a 50 foot snake. Blah, blah, blah. And he said, yeah. He said, I don't know, man. You probably need a 100-foot snake and this and that. And I'm like, I don't need a 100-foot snake. I said, okay, here's what I've done. I've only got 30 feet between my house and the street. I've already snaked it. I can't touch it. So I need something longer. And the rest of the pipe is clear. And I don't have any big trees in my yard, but there are trees. He said, you could probably get by. And so I go down to Home Depot, and I want to say it was about this time that I see the president has said the whole go back to your the whole go back to your own country. And I'm thinking, why would he say that? Because clearly it's a bullshit comment, right? If you're an American, you're an American. We come from the four corners of the globe. So why would he say something like that? And it, when I heard it, it pissed me off that he said it. Because that's not something that we say in the United States. All right? So I'm thinking about that driving to Home Depot. Now, it's about 4 o'clock, so I'm thinking, all right, what is this thing going to do? I know it's supposed to cost me $50. So I get there, and the first two ones we use don't work. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So finally, the third one we get works. I'm so excited I leave. I don't have the tips that go on the end. There's like, you know, I had three different ones. One's a fairly small, looks like an arrowhead. Two is a, it looks like a C. So it goes into the pipe and then it spins kind of, routing out the edges of the pipe, right? It's pressed against the out exterior or the interior of the pipe kind of that way. And then the third one looks like, something out of a, subway boring event. So a big kind of a ball with a point on the end and little grooves in it. So anyway, something like that. So I forget. I don't bring those. So now I got to turn back. I got to go back and get those. So now I get home. I prep the area. I go get a camp stool from the back, from my backyard. I set everything up. Now, and I, you know what? I have to tell you, I love this kind of stuff. In case you can't tell, I love this guy's stuff. You know, and what I miss having my sons around. I'm going to say it publicly. When I would do this stuff, as a younger guy, when I had my sons around, I used to call these things men's towns events, all right? And I had this thing about going to men's town with my sons. Like, I think I used to let them cuss. They could spit all over the place. I mean, so we'd go to men's town. Men's town! They'd be like, yeah! So, anyhow. And then when we do dangerous stuff, like put the Christmas lights up and things like that, on like a two-story house with a really steep roof in the snow, and I'd be shaking the ladder and stuff like that, I used to call it special operations. We're doing special ops today. And so, but you know what, it was always a good time. And now it's just me, like, being excited about solving a problem, you're working with power tools. So, I have to tell you, I missed having my sons around, because, you know, it was always more fun. And Colleen, I would have had Colleen help me, but she was working. So, anyway, so we get back, get the camp stool, get it plugged in. Now, I've never really operated a snake machine before, okay? So now you can buy, so I rented an electrical one, so that feeds the snake into the line. And then you watch the line to see when the snake, right, hits something, because it stops feeding, right? All of a sudden it stopped. And then you slowly but surely, then you shift it, instead of like forward, you shift it into neutral, right? So it's just sitting there grinding it. And then as you feel the tension go slack on it, you know it's made enough progress, you feed more, blah, blah, blah. So I do that once, pull it out. Nothing. I'm like, what? And then I thought, well, there's two pipes that come up from the main line. So I thought, well, let me snake the other one. I do that, nothing. I go back to the first pipe, I do it again. And the snake gets all 50 feet out, and the water is still up to the top of these things, of those, like, I don't know what they're called, emergency drain pipes that are outside your house. I'm like, shit! Like, what's going on? Like, it's gotta be between me and the street, and that son of a bitch isn't 50 feet. So what the hell? So I'm pulling out the second time. All of a sudden, pew, all the water goes away. I'm like, yes! I have achieved victory over whatever was stopping. So now I pull the snake out, and what do I have? Roots. That's right. Vacaville man sent me an email a few minutes ago. Obstruction? Question mark. Roots find moisture in the sewage lines. You know? And I was like, okay, yeah, but this house isn't built in the 30s, right? It's built in the 60s, 70s. And so I was, so now, let me just tell you one of the great things about YouTube. You can find dudes that film themselves doing everything. And I did. Watched about three or four videos of guys snaking, you know, guy plumbers snaking. And I found a house like mine that, you know, didn't have, you know, 300 yards to go to the street. So I'm sitting there watching this dude snake it. And, you know, it was full of baby wipes. Yeah. He said, you know, these baby wipes make me a lot of money. Make me a lot of money. And so, yeah, so I snaked that thing. And so then I did it two more times with the other tips. And then took the machine back. And it all worked. It all worked. All the drainage worked. I shined a light down there. You could see that thing running like it was the Grand Canyon. Colorado River. And I was very, very pleased with myself. So as I pondered, like, why the president would say something so stupid, right? So I thought about it, like, what's my explanation of why he would say something like that? Especially as if you were a Republican strategist, you watch this kind of brewing feud between Nancy Pelosi and her freshman legislators, and you're like, this is, you know, if I was a Democratic or Republican strategist, I'd be loving this, man. So why would the president insert himself and give them somebody to close with or turn on as a group and unite the speaker and her for whatever they call themselves? Freshman representatives, why would you do that? And here's what I've come up with. Here's what I've come up with. I'm going to sneeze, so hold on. All right, now that we've got that out of the way. So, the president is trying to keep immigration as an issue in a big way. He's trying to keep these four and how they've taken the Democratic Party much further left than I think the Democratic Party cares to be. In fact, if you see interviews now with different candidates, you can see them trying to create daylight between them and this notion of free college for everybody, for Medicare on demand, right? And so you see people now trying to paint themselves as moderates, where that's not what we saw in the first debate. And so this is the president's bombastic way of trying to pin the Democratic Party to these four that the nation, I want to say, is kind of getting pretty sick of. Hell, their own party is getting sick of them. But I have to tell you that I don't like when he does that. Like, I guess all, I mean, I don't guess. All is fair in politics, at least that's the way it's played today. But that, like, I don't particularly care for that. Now, their response is, the response of Republicans is, well, who else are you going to vote for? And, you know, that's true. That's true. And so you're going to see the, let's see. You're going to see the president, in my opinion, try to force immigration on to the Democratic Party in a way that they don't want to deal with it. Because if you look at it, other than on a very, very quiet basis, without much public debate, that $4.5 billion measure comes out of the House. And then not another word is said. Now, you had those freshman representatives down there raising hell, but I think most people have tuned most of that out and believe, like, look, if you don't want those conditions to exist, then the problem is yours. You own it. You have the president screaming about it. Everybody knows, and I want to say most of those four voted against the measure. So, look, you're the ones causing it. So, but I have to say, I really, 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 really don't care for go back to where you came from. That's not so much American. I don't. And even in my euphoria, of snaking my sewer line, I was still bothered by that. All right, so let me tell you what we're doing on the program today. Alex Holling is going to join us. We'll check the news. Not so much news. Again, Monday, unless something big explodes, an American sergeant major was killed in Afghanistan, which you don't see ever. So, not really sure what happened there, if that was an insider event, or if it was wrong place, wrong time. But I don't believe in coincidences when it comes to this kind of shit. So, a sergeant major getting killed, that's disturbing. Anybody getting killed is disturbing, obviously, but when you have, again, know this, that the Taliban knows that what makes headlines isn't when they roll over an Afghan police station and they kill 17. It's when they kill or wound any American, right? That's what makes a headline. So, but, yeah, we this doesn't happen. So, and again, not that we're going to get any details about it, but frustrating. All right. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Busy work weekend at the house, some of it unintentional. And a very good Monday morning to you on the 15th day of July, halfway through July. Yeah, if your kids go back to school in August, they got 30 days before they go. So tell them, get their asses moving. Summer's almost over. If they don't go back till September, what, about halfway? Maybe not even halfway through yet. So anyhow, good morning. Good Monday morning to you. We'll be right back. this is dedicated to all you plumbers out there and electricians that work on the weekends. Yeah, God bless you guys. I'm thinking about starting my own little handyman business, but I'm only gonna be a one trick pony. I'm gonna be a snake guy. Yeah, if your stuff's plugged, right, and it's less than 100 feet to your curb, call Mac. I'm your guy. It's gonna cost you money because I do live in Orange County, right? I do live in Orange County, California, so you know I can jack those clowns. I mean, they don't even like to get their fingernails dirty, let alone maybe get toilet paper, you know, and deal with their sewer system, right? But for $500, I'll come out right now. Damn it, I hate these guys. Okay, how soon can you be there? I'll be there in 20 minutes. Yeah, Max, immediate drain clogging sewer solution. It'll cost you, though. So this is dedicated to all you electricians, plumbers, right, HVAC people, all you guys who do that stuff on the weekend. God bless you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather. Jack Keane just appeared on TV, so I'd like to listen to him. So we'll listen to him talking about Iran. Again, you know, follow the money. The sanctions, the sanctions, the sanctions, the sanctions. Do not come off the sanctions. All right, currently in Quantico, sunny in 85. Camp Lejeune, sunny in 93, so sun on the East Coast. 29 Palms, 90 degrees already and sunny there. Camp Pendleton, foggy in 66. Honolulu, about the same. The home of Camp Smith, not actually in Honolulu, but in Hawaii. Dark, cloudy in 78. Okinawa, clear, dark in 83. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, in the city of Ramadi, it is sunny in 103. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 97 in Marja. At the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy at 66. Looking for a high today of 82 degrees. 82 tomorrow and 77 on Wednesday. Yeah, I don't like 80. I like 76 right in there. Because it drops into the 60s. I like that as sleeping weather. Okay, now, Jack Keane just made an appearance on Fox News. And I like Jack Keane. We'll see what he has to say. Okay, so before he comes on, I'm going to say this. Do not come off the sanctions. Iran says, look, we'll talk to the United States, but only after the sanctions are lifted. Do not do that. Do not do that. So here's what Jack Keane had to say. Uh-oh. Oops.
Journal. Let me get to that in a moment.
Bill Hemmer.
When did Iran say they're willing to talk? Because I think as early as a week ago, they said that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's a recent phenomenon, but it's symptomatic of a strategic offensive that the Trump administration is doing with Iran. I mean, they're politically and economically isolating them. Clearly, the sanctions are crippling their economy, and they're back on their heels. And as a result of it, they've been lashing out and not doing too well at it, to be frank. But this is a latest overture, and certainly with the conditions that they're imposing, that we, as a condition to talk to them, much like they did with the Obama administration, we'd have to remove the sanctions. Well, this administration is not going to fall for that nonsense. Listen, these sanctions are working. We have to have some patience here. And eventually the Iranians will come to the table, I believe so, but they're going to exhaust all the options that they have, and they have not exhausted them all. You're watching what they're doing with increasing uranium enrichment and trying to blackmail the Europeans into providing some economic assistance. We'll have to go through a few plays of that to see where that turns out.
So let me just try and nail this down. The president said he'll talk to the Ayatollah. Do you see that happening, General?
I do think there's a real possibility, but it'll be only after the Iranians feel that there is no other way here. Look what they've tried. They tried military provocations to create a crisis in the Middle East, sabotaging tankers, but they got caught at it. It backfired on them. So now they're trying the enrichment, busting the JCPOA, or the so-called nuclear deal, and as a result of that threat, to force the Europeans to help them. If the Europeans hang tough, which I think they're going to do, there's always been a question mark because there's a lot of business deals that they want to have with Iran, let's be frank about it. and that gets in the way here. But if they hang tough, then that'll get played out. And the Iranians may indeed go back to some kind of military provocation again before they come to the negotiating table.
Okay, so here's the headline you wrote with Lindsey Graham, Jack Keane, Wall Street Journal. The headline reads this: call Iran's bluff with an offer of nuclear power. You touched on this, General. Go ahead and make your case.
Well, first of all, I'm involved in a commercial activity to secure nuclear power plants, although it's not exactly related, but I want to put that out there. The issue is, the Iranians have always claimed that they're in pursuit of civil nuclear power for energy purposes. And, well, if that's the case, then why do you have to have your own enrichment capability, your own reprocessing and fabrication capability? There's a couple of dozen nations out there that have civil nuclear power, and they just buy the enrichment. They buy the fuel, in other words, but they don't have their own capability. I'm convinced we could work out a deal with the Arab nations who want nuclear power and the Iranians. Nobody has any enrichment capability whatsoever. It's only done for civil nuclear energy purposes. And you could have anytime, anywhere inspections to make certain that really is the case, which we never had under the nuclear deal. Are the Iranians likely to take that? Probably not, because it's our belief, and I think the evidence supports it, that the Iranians truly want nuclear weapons, not nuclear civil energy. They want nuclear weapons.
But given the pressure, they can go out and buy the enriched uranium. And
they can buy the fuel, but they would only be able to buy the fuel for nuclear energy. And you could have inspections to guarantee they're not doing anything else.
Okay.
That's a ploy for negotiations.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You put it on the table.
Here's the last line in your piece. Here we go. We urge our European partners to work with the U.S. administration to fashion a realistic proposal that lays the...
Now, this is an op-ed that appeared in the Wall Street Journal, co-written by Lindsey Graham and Jack Keane. So no small amount of horsepower in that op-ed.
Groundwork for a future of stability and peace between Iran and the world. Let's see if the Iranians want what they claim to want, a peaceful solution, end quote.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Just think of this. I mean, what we want to avoid is a nuclear arms race in the most volatile neighborhood in the world, the Middle East. I mean, that, as we suggest, is an absolute nightmare scenario, and everybody has to work against that ever happening. And that's what this is, an offer to try to preclude that from happening.
General, thank you. Jack Keane lays it out very...
There you have it, Jack Keane. Who knew he listened to All Marine Radio? Although the civil nuclear thing is something I've yet to reveal to my audience. Yeah, come on. Do you think that the Iranians are going to go for that? I mean, we could all cross our fingers and, you know, I hope, right? There's no place like home. There's no place like home. But, yeah, I don't, let me tell you, if they said, oh, well, if we can do that, then of course, why wouldn't we do that? But again, when you go down the road to enriching uranium on your own, normally, you are headed down the path of developing a nuclear weapon. So I'll draw a parallel between the Confederate artillery discussion and this issue, right? They had different calibers and smoke and blah 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 and their powder wasn't as good and yada yada yada. Okay, I got it. But it wasn't the first time it happened. Okay. The Iranians, did they have the option of buying, right, uranium for civil? Yes, of course they did. The North Koreans had that option too. But that's not what the program is about. If it was only about delivering nuclear power to the Iranian people, there's better options. So, with that said, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Coming to the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean.
This coming Thursday.
Letting go of all hope.
Two performances.
Of this heartbreak.
From Vacaville, man. I had to dig up my parents' sewer line 20 years ago when a tree intruded the line. It sucked ass. Those are brutal, man. Those are brutal. Mac, definitely not a sprinkler guy due to how many times I hear you doing those repairs. Look, I didn't say I was great at it, all right? I'm not. I'm not afraid to, like, go to Home Depot and spend, like, $5 on the sprinkler and then spend 4 hours of my life devoted to it. I'm not afraid of that. Yeah, somebody sent me an email. Mike, I heard you talking about going to MCRD. You said the program changed a little bit every time. How is the program going to change this time? Well, I think that the way I introduce it will change a little bit. First of all, having Peyton there. And, you know, she'll come out and say that, hey, this has touched my life. So you ought to pay attention. Tell the story about her dad and then sing a song. And then I think what I'll do between now and Wednesday is record some audio from people that have, I mentioned this last week, but from General Furness and a couple of others, more junior enlisted guys, maybe a sergeant major. But again, just in 30 seconds, hey, look, you know, welcome to post-traumatic winning. I'm, you know, Corporal Mike McNamara. I walked into this thing in January and I was struggling, and honestly, it's, you know, made a huge difference in my life. Pay attention, boys and girls. Just quick, and that audio would play behind a picture of them, and then subsequent to this, I'll get them to record something, you know. And again, just something on their phone, right? Yeah, turn your phone on and look at it and record something. And maybe I can get that done from a few people before Wednesday. But so it would become more personal like that. Now that it has a body of evidence behind it, now that it has touched enough people. So yeah, so that would be, other than that, it stays the same. So no, and I can tell you, I mean, excited. MCRD is excited to do it, and so it makes me happy, you know. It makes me happy that all this, all the work that's gone into this and over the course of the first 6 months, now beginning of the second half of the first year, you know, organizations have now heard about it and are 2-5 fired up to do it too in August. It gets better as you have more voices, more voices to go ahead and call upon, you know, to get people to know that what they're going to experience today is something different. So that's what's exciting about it. That's what's exciting about it. So no, and I'm fired up. But I will tell you this. I mean, MCRD, there's a captain down there by the name of Goldbeck. And she's all over it, man. She is all over it. She's good. So just exciting to go down and all the different things that they're doing around it too are pretty cool. And you know, the other thing is working with General Furness, just him talking about on the back side of this, these are some of the things that you should consider, modifications to, you know, your counseling order, right? That people have to be counseled differently, right? We've got to get better at that. We've got to reach deeper into them. We've got to lead better, right? And we've got to develop those personal relationships to maybe an extent that we haven't done so, right? Because our Marines need it, right? And, you know, just like we need it, our Marines need it. So anyway, so that's what's exciting. All right. Let's see. News. Top story in Stars and Stripes, is a VA story that I don't really care about. More bad news out of the VA, but I don't care about it. Pentagon identifies Green Beret killed, in Afghanistan. And, his name is Sergeant Major James, I guess he went by Ryan, Sartor, 40 years old from Tigg, Texas. Joined the Army in 2001. Assigned to the 3rd Infantry Division as an infantryman. Deployed to Iraq as an infantryman in 2002. And then became a Green Beret. And was assigned to the 10th Special Forces Group, 2nd Battalion, in 2006. And then deployed in 2006, 2007, 2009, 2010, and also deployed to Afghanistan with the unit in 2017. U.S.-backed Afghan forces have been fighting the Taliban in Faryab, F-A-R-Y-A-B, which has seen an uptick in insurgent activity in recent years. In addition to providing advice and training American troops accompanying Afghan special forces on certain operations. So, no further details on how he was killed. But again, as I said before, Sergeant Major getting killed, you know, that doesn't happen. So, not really sure what happened, but obviously we'll pay attention to details. And as always, keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. I told you Monday slow news day unless something major blows up. The so USNI, nothing. Marine Corps Times. There was one story. There's a map. Yeah. Here's an updated map of military sites where DOD found cancer-causing chemicals in drinking water. Now, obviously, if you're a Marine and been in the Marine Corps in any time in the last, what, 'The Environmental Working Group has updated the map on military sites where DOD found cancer-causing chemicals in drinking water. And if you look at it, all over New Jersey, right, North Carolina, Florida, I mean, they're all over the country, honestly, Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado. All through California, up in the state of Washington, so any place you have a major installation, it looks like, right? It looks like that you have these issues. I will tell you what's amazing is one of the heaviest concentrations is in Michigan. Yeah, go figure, Michigan. And it looks from just the naked eye, Michigan's got more of them than any state in the country. For decades, the military used firefighting foams, which caused PFAS chemicals, which contained PFAS chemicals. These substances were also found in hundreds of everyday household products, but those products tend not to get into your drinking water. So, anywho, again, that issue right there is probably one of the most underreported stories in the nation. Top 5 stories in Early Bird. Number 1, budget showdown is set as Democrats advance their authorization bill over GOP objection. So you'll have in the reconciliation, a House version and a Senate version, and let's just all hope that we don't go back to the days of sequestration. Second story, Army identifies U.S. Special Operations Sergeant Major who died in Afghanistan. As I said before, that doesn't happen, so stay tuned. Number 3, here's an updated map of military sites where the DOD found cancer-causing chemicals in drinking water. And I would tell you this. This is probably the biggest story, in my opinion. Again, I don't know who ranks these stories for the early bird, but sometimes they don't always have their coffee before they do it. Turkey has the S-400. The Trump administration is silent. After months of threatening quick, severe action against Turkey, should Ankara accept the Russian-made S-400 air defense system, the Trump administration has yet to react to the delivery of the weapon system. Now, here's what's at issue. What's at issue is possibly, you know, the Incirlik air base in Turkey, and Turkey as a NATO member. And I don't know how you get around that. The United States has invested billions in the F-35. And now you're essentially going to give a country that has the S-400 that will train against the F-35, and you don't think the Russians are going to be privy to that information. Yeah, so I don't know. Again, Turkey has been going down this road, and Mr. Erdogan seems intent on severing close relationships between the United States and the West and Turkey, which will have huge repercussions for the Middle East and how America, you know, are we going to have to move it? You know, the Incirlik base. So anyway, I don't know strategically if Turkey, you know, offers the United States something it can't get elsewhere in the region, right? Our positions in Western Europe, in the eastern part of Western Europe, are changing. Poland wants us, right? The Ukraine wants the United States, right? Number five, bid for higher military pay fizzles amid partisan fighting in Congress. All right. You heard Jack Keane talk about Iran. We'll take a break. When we come back, Alex Holling is going to join us on a day when we talk about everything from hedge trimming to Iran nuclear deals to snaking your sewer line. That's right. You can do it. Trust me. If I can do it, watch a few YouTube videos, right? Ease into it a little bit, you probably could too. All right. So without anything else said, don't touch that dial. Alex Holling's always interesting. Will join us next on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network, is what I meant to say.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.